The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Anger spilled out all over our home. Here I was, you know, with a disability. The doctors had told me I needed to stop doing the things I was doing. But my daughters were 9 and 13. I was driving everywhere. My body was failing. I remember screaming in front of my pastor, "Why does God hate me?"
Vanitha Reisner found herself disillusioned with God, disheartened about the future, and doubting her faith. She was desperate for hope. Next on Life Today.
Everybody, I'm Tammy Trent. Welcome to Life Today. Have you ever found yourself saying, "Where are you, God? Do you care that I'm struggling? And why aren't you doing something, anything to help me?" Well, today's guest sure has. She says she felt so very alone in her suffering, asking God for evidence that He loved her, was for her, and was with her. She's learned to settle into the knowing that with all certainty, the presence of God would never leave her through it all. She's written a new Bible study titled Desperate for Hope, and I can't wait to talk to her about that. Everybody, welcome Vanitha Reisner. I'm so glad to have you here. What a great book that I think anybody would want to pick up and read, because I think we've all been in that place where we've all felt sort of desperate for hope. And I know you have personally. You're no stranger to suffering. We've talked about that a little bit beforehand, but can you take us back to your childhood when maybe like you and your family discovered something wasn't right?
Yeah. Well, Tammy, I was born in India, and I got polio when I was 3 months old. And at the time, the polio vaccine had been developed, you know, over a decade before, so the doctors had no idea what it was, but I just hadn't gotten the vaccine yet. And so they gave me the wrong medicine. They gave me cortisone, so within 24 hours, I was completely paralyzed. And the doctors said, "Oh, no, she doesn't have..." They thought I had typhoid, and they realized I had polio.
Wow.
But by that time, I was a quadriplegic. There was nothing they could do. So the doctors in India basically told my parents to leave the country, because they said, "In India, disability is a curse. You need to leave."
Right.
So they left. I moved to England when I was one, had my first surgery there, and then we moved to Canada. And I just started having operations, Tammy. I had 13.
Gosh.
I had 21 operations by the time I was 13.
Oh, my goodness.
I lived in the hospital, was bullied a lot. You know, I walked with a limp, and I didn't actually learn to walk till I was 7.
Really?
Lived in the hospital for a year at a stretch. So life was really hard for me.
Yes.
But amazingly, I came to Christ at 16. I was able to walk, and I opened the Bible once, just basically saying, "God, if you're real, show me." Because my friends and my family were all telling me that God was real, but I didn't think God was real. And just opened the Bible to John 9, I say randomly, because nothing is random with God, but read the story of the man who was blind from birth. Then Jesus asked, the disciples asked Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus said it wasn't that this man sinned or his parents that he was born blind, but that the work of God would be displayed in his life. And that changed me, came to Christ.
Yes.
And honestly, at that time, I thought, my life is going to be perfect. I thought, if you know Jesus, everything is going to go well. You commit your life to Christ, and my heart and my life was over, was really my theology. And for 10 years, it really was over, Tammy. My life was wonderful, went to grad school, met and married a classmate, just thought everything was great. And then life came crashing down.
Wow. What happened?
Well, first of all, I had 4 miscarriages. So I had a miscarriage.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was hard. But then I had several miscarriages. And that was just hard, because I thought, this isn't what I thought was going to happen.
Right.
Then one of my, I had a son who had a heart problem. And we prayed and prayed, fasted and prayed, that he would be born fine. He was born with a heart problem, but had surgery at birth, was doing wonderfully.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, a doctor took him off his medicine because he was doing so well. And the doctor said, "Oh, he's going to be great." Well, 3 days later, Paul died.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was so hard, Tammy, because I felt like we did the right stuff.
Right.
We prayed.
Right.
And we thought God had brought him through that. And then when, you know, sort of holding Paul in my arms, realizing he had died, my faith started to crumble at that
point, honestly.
Well, to be sort of back up, my faith didn't crumble at that point. Mm. My faith seemed super strong. I got up at his funeral, said God never makes a mistake. And then weeks later, I wanted to pull every one of those words back.
Did you really?
I just thought, God makes mistakes, and this is one of them, and I don't know if I can trust you. Now, I didn't walk away from faith, but I would say I leaned away in that I didn't feel like I could trust this God who I had felt so close to and felt that he was going to orchestrate everything in my life for good, and this didn't feel good.
Definitely not good. I mean, did you find yourself getting angry with God, too? Like
yes.
All the questions that we always have when we go through moments like this, when nothing makes sense. Now I'm just mad and I feel abandoned.
Yes. Yeah, I felt all of those things, Tammy. I felt so abandoned and I didn't know what to say. I had no words. I had taught Bible study in our church and all of a sudden I didn't even know what to say to God. So my Bible was unopened on the table. I didn't want to open it. And yet one day I was in the car, Tammy, and I just cried out to God and I said, help me. That's all I said because I didn't know what else to say.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The presence of God filled my car in a way that I will never forget. And I just sensed God was like, I am with you.
Yes.
You don't know and can't understand all that I am doing in this, but trust me, I am with you. And that sense of God's presence has marked me. It changed my life knowing that, wow, God did not leave me in that dark place.
Yes.
Even though he didn't do what I asked, which is one of the hardest things, that God is with us, and yet sometimes our nightmares come true. And just kind of working that out with God right there was very different than hearing somebody say it, but not sensing God. And so after that, though, Tammy, I thought, okay, I've had my second big suffering. We're done. No more suffering.
Yeah.
Psyched
been
about that.
It.
Yep.
Been
passed
there,
the
done test.
That.
All done. Here we go. Yep.
And then 6 years after Paul died, I was diagnosed with post-polio syndrome. And I had mentioned to you that I was a quadriplegic when I first got polio, but then I'd had 21 operations. I had exercised. I led a very normal life.
Okay.
I used to walk to work. I mean,
wow.
I had a limp, but besides that, I was pretty normal.
Okay.
But got a pain in my arm, went in, got diagnosed with post-polio, and basically they said I would eventually be a quadriplegic again. And so they said, you know, your arms and your legs, they're going backwards. And
wow.
That was horrifying to me.
Yes.
Like that
yes.
felt like, God, how could you do this again?
Right.
Like, give
right.
me all this hope.
Yes.
That the worst was over. Mm. And I was an artist. I used to sell paintings. I loved to cook. And when I got the diagnosis, they said, stop everything. You can't paint, you can't cook. And I remember saying to them, what would happen if I don't do that, if I don't stop? I mean, I had just started to sell jewelry.
Oh, my goodness.
And they said, in 10 years, someone will be feeding you.
Vanessa,
and I thought, I had two young kids.
Okay.
And I thought, what do I do?
Right.
So that wasn't a crisis of faith for me because I remembered, okay, God was there right after Paul died. That same God is never going to leave me. So it was one of those things that I just had to trust that God was going to walk me through it. Sometimes you can't even imagine what the future is going to be like, but you just have to say, okay, God, you're going to hold my hand. You're going to walk me through this. And my husband was there, and he's like, we're going to get through this together. And so that brought me a lot of comfort. Like, I'm not alone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Did the suffering stop there?
No, it didn't. So my husband
How much more can one girl take? Do you know what I mean?
That's
like
what
how
I was saying.
That feeling like, God, it's enough.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
remember feeling like, God, it's enough, and just saying, I can't take it anymore. So what happened next?
Well, 6 years after my diagnosis, my ex-husband came home and told me he was leaving for someone else. So my world collapsed. I was raising two adolescent daughters at the time. Mm. They walked away from faith. They walked away from me. Anger spilled out all over our home. Here I was, you know, with a disability. The doctors had told me I needed to stop doing the things I was doing. But my daughters were 9 and 13. I was driving everywhere. My body was failing. I remember screaming in front of my pastor, why does God hate me?
Oh, Vanessa,
and I felt that way. I mean, I remember thinking, God must hate me.
Mm.
And yet it was through all of that, Tammy, that God met me. Like, I think, and I entitled the Bible study, Desperate for Hope, because when we are desperate that's when we need to see God, and that's when he shows up, when we're looking for him. And so I was the most desperate then. I didn't know how I would make it. And I asked God all the questions, like, if you love me, why did this happen? Mm. And God answered with himself.
That is such a testimony. Oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed by all of it. And I think what a gift that you have written in this book. Can you tell us, who did you have in mind when you wrote this book? What's the takeaway that you hope for to achieve with this book? Like, because I think I know so many people that are truly desperate for hope. And when I give this to them, what can I say? This is what you're gonna find in this book, this Bible study.
Yeah. I wrote it for the person who is struggling with questions. I think we enter with questions like, God, why did this happen? You know, some of the questions are, what if the worst happens? Yeah. What if this never gets better? And this is for people who feel like they need to meet God in their suffering. And I think a lot of people say nowadays, you know, if you trust God, you won't have questions, you won't have doubts. I don't believe that's true. I think in any relationship, if we do have questions, we go to the person and our relationship is strengthened. And I think doubts lead to a stronger faith. My asking God those questions gave God the opportunity to answer with his presence. Mm. And that was incredible. And I think if I hadn't asked the questions, I wouldn't be as close to God as I am.
Can we ask the questions? You know, so many people think, like, I'm not allowed to ask God questions. He's going to do what he's going to do, and I'm not going to test him. I'm not going to shake it up. I'm not going to ask him. Are we okay to ask God questions, the hard questions?
Yes. God invites our questions. And we have the Psalms, we have Job as examples where God is saying, ask me. Ask me. Pour out your heart to me. And it was really understanding that that changed my faith. I mean, that's what happened when Paul died, and I dared to ask God the questions.
Yeah.
And God answered, and I looked for answers. And that's part of the thing with questions, Tammy, is once we ask a question, we need to look for an answer.
Yes, yes.
And God is answering us in a thousand ways. Yes. You know, the ways, you know, just talking to somebody who gives us hope. There's opening up the Bible, of course, but there's ways God is answering our questions. And I think that's a key, is ask and then look around because God is answering.
Yeah, I think sometimes we ask and we don't maybe get the answer the way we hope for or not soon enough. And so we give up. Yeah. Well, forget it then. God's not even there. He doesn't care about me. So I'm just not even going to ask anymore. I'm not going to pray more. I'm going to just move on. And I do think you're so right on there when we go to the Father and talk to him about things, and let's seek it out. Let's find the answers. Dig into the Word. Do what you have to do to find out what God is saying to your circumstances right now. Figure it out. That's part of relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
So you talk about lament also. Why is it important? And is it different than grief? Like, I've walked through grief. Is lament different? And, like, how do you even start with lament? And why is it so important?
Yeah. Well, I would say lament is how Christians grieve. And lament is really talking about the difficulties in our suffering while being grounded in the goodness of God. And so it is being willing to go to God with all of the hard questions. It's being willing to ask, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yeah. I just read that this morning in my quiet time. You know, all the questions in the Bible, it's going to God with them. And expecting that God listens, God cares, God will meet us with himself. And I have found, we see that throughout the Psalms, you know, the psalmist David, all the psalmists, they go with their questions and their frustrations of where is God? Yeah. And just that process turns us back to genuine praise. Whereas I think if we just start when we're broken, feeling like, wow, we've just got to go to praise because that's what quote unquote good Christians do. I don't think it's genuine often, and our lips say one thing, but our hearts are so far from God.
So true.
And yet when we're willing to ask God the hard questions, then our lips and our hearts will match and God will bring about praise. And I found that from journaling. Like, I would journal God all the hard questions.
Would you?
And by the end of that time, I would say, but God, I trust you. God, I praise you. But if I had started with that, I think it would have been very plastic. You know, like, I'm saying the right stuff.
Right.
But to actually have God bring that around is a heart change and not just a change of what I'm saying. It's a change of how I feel.
Absolutely. What anchors have you clung to through your whole life? I mean, I look at you, Vanitha, I hear your story, and I just think, it's a hard life. I can't relate to that. I don't know what hardships you've faced every single day that you've faced now. I don't know what your life is like every single day. But I'm telling you, I will pray for you. I will pray for you often after this, because I'm sure it can't be easy. And I wonder what hope, what anchors you every day that might be an inspiration to me or somebody watching that just thinks, my gosh, like, if she can get through this, I can get through this. So what anchors you?
Yeah, well, there's three anchors that I actually have in the Bible study that remind me when I'm in the midst of suffering, of what is true. And one is, we have God's presence.
Amen.
God is for us.
Yes.
God is with us.
Yes.
God loves us.
Amen.
As I look at my present suffering and my past suffering through that lens of God loves us. God is with us.
Yeah.
And then there's purpose. So there's three P's I kind of anchor.
Okay.
One is presence, one is purpose.
Okay.
God is using this suffering for something so much bigger. God is using it for my eternal joy.
Mm.
And just recognizing that none of this is wasted is huge. That,
yes.
that there is a purpose.
Yeah.
We may not see it on this earth. I'm not saying that we can say, oh, this happened because that. God does not, it doesn't work that way, but we will know in heaven that there was a glorious purpose.
Amen.
And then the last is the promise of heaven. Like, our suffering is going to end. It will end
Praise
in heaven.
God,
you know, for some people, it's going to end here on earth.
Yeah.
But for some people, it will only end in heaven, but it will end. And God has all of eternity to lavish his blessings on us. And just knowing that heaven waits for all of us, for people today who are in unending pain, it feels like, and it's not going to get better. And their suffering has gotten worse every day, knowing it will end. And God himself will be there comforting us. There will be no more tears or crying or pain.
Girl, I'm going to run with you in heaven. We'll set up a little race. I'm going to try to beat you every time. How can we help others that are suffering?
Well, I think there's the biggest thing we can do, Tammy, is to show up. Like, I think often...
Seems simple.
Yeah, it does seem simple. For me, salty snacks, chocolate, you know, that helps with
exactly.
the showing up. But just show up. And I have this little acronym that I try to remember. It's called SHOW UP. The first one is SHOW UP. And H is ask, how are you doing today? Not how are you doing, but sort of how is today? Because today changes.
Yes. Right.
And then the O is offer specific help. Not, you know, what can I do? Can I do anything? Call me if you need anything. Don't ask that. But offer specific
help. They're not going to call. I've been there. You're not going to call.
Right. And then W is words of encouragement. Just a text even, you know, I'm praying for you. U is used active listening. You know, most of us really want, in our suffering, we want people to hear us.
Yes, yes.
And rather than preach to us. You know, we see Job's friends had lots of criticism. They were telling him what to do. And Job says, you know, listen to me. So it's, you know, use active listening. And P is to pray. Pray for them. And I pray for myself when I'm praying for somebody. Help me remember to pray. Because it's so easy when a friend's in crisis to pray. But we need to pray for ourselves that we will remember to pray for them.
Absolutely.
And pray for them.
Give me those again real quick.
Yes. So it's show up. S is show up.
Okay.
H is how are you doing today?
Okay.
O is offer specific help.
Okay.
W is words of encouragement.
Okay.
U is use active listening. And P is pray.
Those are some really simple things. I love that. And that's all in your book?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited to dive in. And you've got also video access with this.
I do.
I think people will absolutely love this. So you could sit down with a group of girls and guys, your friends, Bible study, make it a whole thing. Watch it on video.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yep, how easy is that?
Videos. And they interviewed people from my family. So I mentioned my kids were interviewed. And
Excellent.
My husband, my parents, all these people. I didn't know what they were going to say. It was terrifying. But I think it's okay. So
I'm excited. I know people will be excited, too. And, you know, there are many around the world right now that feel like their situation is beyond repair, who are also desperate for hope. And I want to help bring them hope. And if you'd like to join me today, with any gift that you're able to give to Water for Life, we'll send you Vanitha's book, Desperate for Hope. Just make sure to request it when you call, but first, watch this.
Water, Earth's most abundant natural resource. Yet, out of this abundance, only a tiny fraction of it is suitable for drinking. And suitable is a loose definition.
This is their only source of water right here. This is his only source of water. And this is where they have to come every day, all the way down here to get their water. I mean, you can look around and you can see that it is very dirty and muddy, and there are frogs all over that I actually see at the moment, and you can see the contamination in it. You can see that there has got to be much disease and illness with each sip that they take.
While the problem here is serious, the solution is surprisingly simple, and it's already been implemented in this Central American village.
This is a time when I don't mind watching them stand here and pour water over their head because I know it's good water.
That's right. Yeah. This is a place for which we give great praise to God and gratitude. But we need to drill hundreds of wells like this all over the world. And you can see, if you can't look at these children, look at their faces, look how happy they are, and understand the importance of clean water, it becomes the center of life. Schools spring up. We want children to get an education, and we want them to come and get healthy, clean drinking water.
I love watching them smile, but the reality at this moment is all around the world there's a struggle for clean water. To think that right now there's a little girl or a little boy collecting dirty, undrinkable water in a bucket to take back to their families so that they can all drink from it. I have no doubt there are thousands of little ones all over the world who are extremely ill at this moment from drinking water that looks like this. The death of a child is always tragic, but death caused by what was supposed to have been the source of life is almost too much to bear. You might ask, is there a way that we can stop this? Is there a way we can give them a better choice in the hardships that they face every single day? And the answer is yes. We have a proven solution that is working right now and has been for over 30 years that we've been doing this. And it's so effective. We go in with all the equipment after assessing the land. We find the perfect spot and we start to drill deep, deep into the ground until we hit fresh, clean water. And then the well is sealed off from outside contamination, which will keep that water safe. And then life begins. The best form of life begins to take hold in that village. People begin to thrive. Children begin to smile again. We see them healthy and we see them stable. Life as they knew it has been changed, and they will never be the same again, because something so simple as clean water, a source of life, has given them a second chance at life. To live without fear of dying every day because of what you're putting in your body, what a place of freedom for these people. And I believe it's completely doable and it's affordable, especially when we all come together to make a difference. So here at Life Today, we're committed to drilling over 350 wells this year in 20 nations. And my hope is that we will do even more than that together. And here's how you can help. With your gift of $48 today, you will help provide clean water for 10 people. For $144, you'll help provide water for 30 people. And for $4,800, you'll help provide a complete well that will provide water for about 1,000 people for a lifetime who desperately need it today. So would you please call us right now? The lines are busy. Keep trying, stay persistent. I'm praying for an outpouring of help today. There are so many wells that need to be drilled this year. 350 areas that are desperate for clean water. Remember, this is the last week, so just call the number on your screen or go online and give the best gift you can so that we together can let our mission partners on the ground know that we are committed to this and we are on our way.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the Life Prayer Journal, complete with customized art, scripture verses, and inspirational quotes from Life Today hosts and co-hosts. You'll find plenty of room to write down prayer requests, answered prayers, and your own personal reflections as you spend time with God. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessed Cutting Board, a beautiful addition to your kitchen and preparation area. This pine wood cutting board is custom engraved with the word blessed as a reminder of the daily provision of God in your life. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our colorful bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
So you might be wondering what it is that you can do to help us. Well, I want to show you right here. This is it. This is what we are hoping to install in villages all around, just like this one. These families now have fresh, clean water. They're able to stop having to go to the water sources that the doctors have told them are making them sick, their children sick. They have a water well. They're not having to spend hours every day, 7-8 times a day. Together, we can do this. We can put a water well in a village. We can change your life forever. Would you help? I know you want to help, so I'm asking you, whatever way you help, whether it be by phone or online or mailing in a check, would you go now and make your best gift?
Thank you so much for partnering with us here at Life Today. And remember, for any gift that you're able to give today, we want to send you this book, Desperate for Hope. I know it will encourage you so much. Benita, thank you so much for being here. We totally love you and we care about you. And I'm so grateful that you made time to be with us today. She has surely learned to give her pain purpose, and we can all benefit from her life's experiences. She points us to the one who is closer than ever. Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed." May we all feel a little more rescued today. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time on Life Today.
I had a friend ask me a couple years ago, "What's the hardest thing for you right now?" And I said, "It's a choice I make every day to wake up and choose to live."
Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.